This is Roger Metz. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I am actually not in the studio today. I'm in Georgetown, South Carolina with the Bassmaster Elite at Winya Bay. So, and I had to give up an opportunity to judge the Belton Chili Cook-Off today. So in honor of last year and how much fun I had, I thought maybe you didn't make it down there, we'd replay that show and learn how to make a better bowl of chili. My guest was nice enough to bring me a couple of his recipes, and I will have those up on Facebook and the website. Try one out. His wife's homestyle chili recipe calls for 34 different ingredients. The great thing about a chili recipe like this one is you can add or subtract things you do or don't like and still have a great bowl of chili. This is a recorded show. Okay, y'all are in for a special treat today. We are sitting here with Matt Lusk. Matt, I appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's a fifth Saturday cooking show. We've had a couple of good ones. With it being November and cold, I thought, what a better subject than chili. So, you know, being what everybody else does, I just Googled South Carolina chili, came up with a website, went to it, had a Facebook page, went to it, sent a message to South Carolina Chili Cook-Off, and Matthew responded, and here we are.
Yes, sir.
And it's amazing. Chili, and I'm going to be first to admit it, and I'll put it out there. Chili to me is ground venison, because, of course, I hunt a lot, so we use venison where we usually everybody else uses ground beef. Got some chili beans, some kidney beans, some spice. Do that all up, and then I pull it off. I'll put onions, sour cream, cheese, and I started putting a little bit of sweet Memphis-style barbecue sauce in my bowl. The kids don't like it, but I like it that way. And you and I started talking. I realized I was way, way, way too simple to be talking about chili.
It's not too simple. Sounds like something I'd eat. I mean,
it's pretty good. The kids eat it. Everybody likes it. But this is a chili. So we've got some chili divisions here. We've got some different type chilies I've never heard of. So have at it. Tell us about the South Carolina Chili Cook-Off. Tell us about how you started in this thing, and let's make people's mouth water.
All right. Well, I started off about 6 years ago at the first South Carolina State Chili Cook-Off Championship, which is held in Belton, South Carolina. I started off as a barbecue cook, okay, doing barbecue competitions. And when some local folks wanted to start the Chili Cook-Off, they came to me and asked me if I'd be interested in cooking. Well, you know, I generally cook chili on football, right, Saturdays or whatnot, but the barbecue stuff I did a lot of, and I enjoy cooking, enjoy coming up with recipes, and it was just right up my alley. I enjoy competing in whatever.
Okay.
And so I said, yeah, I'll do that. Well, they said, well, this is going to be sanctioned by the International Chili Society. I said, okay, that's not a problem.
Who are they?
They said, yeah. I said, well, whatever. I said, that's great. And they said, well, there's some rules you got to follow if you're going to compete in the ICS, International Chili Society, categories. I said, okay, well, what kind of rock by bag can it be?
Right.
Well, I got to looking at the rules, and it's, you know, and I'll tell you, traditional red chili, as defined by the International Chili Society, is any kind of meat or combinations of meat cooked with red chili peppers, various spices, and other ingredients, with the exception of
beans,
and pasta is strictly forbidden. And I read that, and I said, how in the world are you going to make chili without beans? And
how many westerns have you ever seen where they didn't have chili with beans in it?
Well, yeah, I know. And then there are a couple other categories, which is chili verde,
okay,
and salsa. And the first year, I just did the red chili.
Okay.
And I sat at home and I looked on the internet and looked at some different recipes, trying to figure out how to make chili without beans. You know, beans is filler. You know,
right?
How do you make a bean? Well, long story short, the first year I competed in the red and the People's Choice category, which everybody that's there has a People's Choice chili, okay, that we give out to the public.
And that's generally the chili that I make at home.
And that's generally,
or something close,
yeah,
to
exactly
it.
Exactly. Okay. And so we did that, and we did not so well, I guess, but it was still fun.
Right.
But we did win People's Choice, which which is the chili like I would make
right.
at home.
Okay.
But we didn't fare well in the competition portion. Now, in the competition, what you have to do when you're at a chili cook-off and you're doing an ICS category, whether it's red, verde, or salsa, you will make, I'm sorry, not salsa because you can make that at home and bring it.
Okay.
But with the red and verde.
Okay.
And even in a home style, you will make that on site. You
All right.
come with raw meat, you come with raw ingredients, and you make everything on site. You're not allowed to cook anything at home and bring it in. You can bring like canned tomatoes.
Okay.
That sort of thing. But everything else you have to cook on site. Now the people's choice, which is what you give out to the public,
right.
you can make that beforehand and bring that in. But with the red chili verde, you make that on site. And where I was going with that,
how'd you get started and you went to your first year?
Yeah.
Second, and you did pretty well your first year.
Yeah. And did pretty well as far as winning the People's Choice.
Right.
Didn't do well on the category that I entered for the ICS. And I didn't cook again in a chili competition until the following year when it came back around. And I did it again. And that year I had kind of worked on my recipe,
okay.
did some things. And that year I won South Carolina State for red chili.
Wow.
And then I also won that year for the salsa. And so I was South Carolina State champion in red and salsa in my second year competing.
In your second cook-off?
In my second cook, right. And I was like, oh, that's pretty easy. Yeah. And then 6 years later, you know, I'm going in the hole trying to win some more. But no, this year I actually won Virginia State in chili verde and Virginia State in salsa. And ended up competing at the Worlds, which was in Las Vegas. About 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, because I know right after when I contacted you the first time, you had just gotten back from Las Vegas.
Yeah. And that was just enjoyable. That's the third world championship that I've been to in the last 6 years. And you have to win a regional or a state.
To go.
In one of those three categories. And this is the first year I've actually cooked in all three there.
Okay. You like this, don't you?
I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy the cooking part, but I'll be honest with you, the friends and the people that I've met along the way, you know, they are just good people. I mean, it's like a little pod.
Right.
You know, when there's a cook-off in Florida, we go to Florida, just like last weekend in Moosehaven. I didn't get to go there, but somebody posted a video and I said, oh, there's Larry and there's Jen and there's, Jim and there's Mike and there's so on and so forth. And then, I'm like, I wish I'd have went now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that little pod will, you know, be cook-off in Tennessee. That little pod
will be there.
We'll be in Tennessee. And, you see the same people. And, then you got some, influx of maybe some locals that'll do it. And then, you know, you might have a little pod, crossover from, say, Kentucky or, Illinois group that'll come down and cook in Tennessee or if you're in Virginia, you might have Ohio folks or Pennsylvania folks that'll come down. It's kind of kind of crosses over, and you meet a lot of good people.
And we were talking what was really neat. And if you've listened to Woods and Water South Carolina at all, you know, this is about, well, outdoors and that sort of thing, but it's mostly about getting families together and having fun. And we were talking earlier, your wife and daughters go with you to a lot of these cook-offs.
They do. And I enjoy having them with me. I mean, it's a family thing for us. You know, we get in the car maybe on a Thursday afternoon and maybe drive 6, 7, 8 hours and, you know, spend the night and have a cook's party on Friday night that we all go to. And Saturday morning we wake up and everybody knows my girls. And,
right.
You know, and they end up handing out my Publix, my Publix chili, the People's Choice that we hand out in the little 2 ounce containers. So they end up, hey, come try some Fat right. Matt's chili. Come try this. Come that. And this good crowd interaction for them.
Yep.
You know, they're 11 and 13, and they've been, you know, for the last 6 years, they've been helping me do that. And actually, my youngest daughter, she come up with her own recipe last year at St. Nick's Chili Fix, and she entered it into the People's Choice category.
Wow.
And she did pretty good. She did pretty well.
That's a neat thing to involve your family with what you enjoy doing. Yeah. And obviously now they enjoy doing it with you.
They do.
That's great. Okay, we got how you got in this, the categories that you've built up over the years you compete in. And you've got a great question here because I really left this up to you with my really shallow involvement in chili. What is true chili?
Well, again, I read what the International Chili Society calls true chili. But, you know, that's a question that's been kind of wrestled with a lot of different groups and a lot of different people, throughout time. I guess throughout, the time when people have, as long as they've been cooking chili.
Well,
you know, does it contain beans? Does it not contain beans? Is it pork? Is it beef? Or what is it? You know?
And I read the same thing on the ICS website. What is chili? It goes back to, and I think they started out with, it started when one of two people added meat and beans in a pot.
Yeah.
And that's when chili really started being a topic for debate and that sort of thing. And then it had a little interesting little thing about William Bonney in there, Billy the Kid, and chili, which was really neat. But they classify chili as the red, the chili verde, and then the people's choice or home style that we talked about earlier.
Now, the home style is what you and I cook at home.
That's right.
And red chili is what I would imagine that you would think about as Texas chili.
Right.
You know, nice chunks of steak type meat in squares that are, you know, cut up and
a mouthful,
yeah. And but with no beans. And then chili verde, it's generally pork is the main ingredient. And it's cooked with green peppers and green chili powders and usually like a chicken stock and that sort of thing. But I actually have some recipes that I'll share with you later.
Okay.
So if there's any question about, you know, chili verde or red chili and home style, I've got all those recipes here. You can take a look at them.
We will put those up on the Facebook page and website.
But as far as what true chili is, I think it's just what you grew up with.
Okay.
And we find that, regionally, everybody has what they believe is true chili. You know, in the Southwest, it might be, you know, fairly hot.
Right.
Meat, tomato sauce, and that's it. I mean, you know, tomatoes and peppers and that sauce, which we call a gravy, and that's it. But here, it's ground beef, beans, a little bit, you know, a little bit of whatever you got up under the sink.
That's right. That's right.
And so, venison, I mean, you're within the rules if you leave your beans out because it says in our International Chili Society, it says any kind of meat, a combination of meat. So
there
your
you
venison,
go.
That's it, right?
Chunk that up instead of grinding it up. What makes a good bowl of chili to you?
To me, I get asked that question a lot. I've been asked it quite a few times, you know, on the radio or TV or whatnot. And I always say it takes love and want to, you know, really, you gotta want to make a good bowl of chili. You just can't half-heartedly throw in some stuff and hope it turns out well. You gotta want it to taste good. You gotta use good quality ingredients.
Okay.
Good quality meat. You just can't go down to the local store and just buy
ground steak,
pink stuff.
Right.
And, cook it and think you're going to get a good chili. But I like to use tri-tip, which is a portion of the sirloin, I think, cut.
Okay.
You can't find it much around here. Out west, they got it everywhere.
Okay.
But tri-tip's good. Or you can use like some sirloin or something like that.
And some good tender sirloin.
Yeah. And I cube it about the size of the end of your pinky. Cut them into little cubes.
Okay.
That's good. But you gotta use quality chili powders. You gotta use, you know, good quality peppers, good quality onions, you know, you don't want to get the mushy onions in the back of your cabinet that's dripping down the wall.
Right.
But, you want to get good.
Good crisp onions.
Yeah. But good quality ingredients. And, what I find is the finer that you can get it, generally the better that it marries in the pot.
Okay. And when you say finer, you're talking not chunks of onions, but really finely minced up
onions. That's what I like.
Okay.
But you know, some people like the big chunks of onions, the big chunks of tomatoes, and the big chunks of peppers. But it just, to me, it doesn't marry as well, throughout the course of the cooking process. But I can't stress enough, the best part of the chili is the chili powders and what actually makes the chili powder. I'm sorry, the chili good.
Okay.
Now, quality chili powders are, you can't find them in a grocery store. But you can find chili powder in a grocery store.
Right.
But you're typically not going to find green chili powders and things like that.
So where do you get those?
Believe it or not, there's quite a few people who actually specialize in, making competition chili powders. Yeah. And, good quality chili powders. And, I go to allthingschili.com.
Okay.
It's, Bob Wiseman out of, Las Vegas. Saw him out there when I was there. And
right.
He says, good to finally meet you. And, he lives out there. But yeah, just cause the World Championships was in Las Vegas.
Right.
He just happened to be there. And, he come by my booth and he said, Fat Matt, how you doing?
I said, hey, Fat Bob. Matt.
Yeah. That's my nickname.
That's
my,
that's how the pod knows you.
Yeah,
huh?
That's right. That's
okay.
Right. And, so, you know, go buy some good quality chili powder.
Okay.
And believe it or not, there are 30, 40 different types and varieties of red. And then you got the green and quite a few varieties as well.
Generally, when you make a good chili powder, a seasoning mix, how many of those varieties will you use in a good chili powder, I guess, is what you're after?
Yeah, well, I actually do my own blend a lot of times. And believe it or not, in about a half a gallon of chili that I do to turn in, it has about 10 to 12 tablespoons of quality powder. And generally about about 3 tablespoons of cumin.
Okay.
Good quality cumin too. That's key.
When you add that many types of chili powder, are you getting an end result or do you taste little bits of each different type chili powder?
You have different levels of, bite.
Okay.
Or heat.
Right.
That you'll add. And see, I have different dumps. And when you just say dump in the first portion of your cooking process, it takes on a different characteristic the longer it cooks.
Okay.
And so you build layers in the pot. So in the end, you want to add, you know, a few things.
Okay.
That have a different pot. You might add a few things at the end that you added at the beginning, but it takes on a different characteristic on your palate.
So you're not taking 8 to 10 to 12 different and mix them in one bowl and adding your seasoning 30 minutes into it. You're taking this chili and adding it 15 minutes into it. A half an hour later, you're adding another.
That's right.
That's the layering you're talking
about.
That's
the layering. Yeah. And you want, when you put the, one spoon, you get judged on one spoonful when you turn in your pot. So if you pull up a spoonful and you got a big old chunk of tomato, you're going to get
a grade on a chunk of tomato.
You're right. So that's why I'm saying do it really fine.
Okay.
And you want your layers really good. And when you put that bite into your mouth, you want the judge to, you know, get a little bite up front and have a good mouth feel, have a good flavor while he's chewing. Then when he swallows it, you want it to burn on the back end. You don't want it to hit all up front and dissipate, and you don't want it to have no bite up front, and then when you swallow it, it just burns the back of your goozle off. You know what I mean? And so you just want to have a consistent burn. I mean, not even a burn, because you don't want hot chili.
Right.
You want a consistent bite from start to finish, and then just a little residual burn at the end.
And my mouth is watering.
And so layering helps with flavors and flavor profiles with that one spoonful.
One spoonful. You travel to Florida, Virginia, Las Vegas to get judged on one spoonful.
One judge for one spoonful.
One.
And generally there's about 15 or 16 judges.
Okay. But they're each getting just one spoonful of what you've cooked.
That's Yes, generally. Okay. But if they like yours, they can come back and get another and say, you know, I like this one. This is bowl number 9. This is bowl number 14. This is bowl number 23. And those are my top three. And they'll go back and retaste and say, okay, 9 is better than 23. So 23 is third place. Or, and then 9 and 12 or whatever. And then they'll narrow it down and they'll vote first, second, third. And you get points based off of first place votes, second place votes, third place votes. And so, you know, we could go more into judging about how it's blind judging. They have no idea
who cooks what,
done what, and you know, similar to the barbecue society. Right. You know, you don't, they don't know whose it is they're looking at or tasting. So,
we've touched on it just a bit. What is the International Chili Society? Am I correct? Did Carroll Shelby? I mean, you know, yes. Carroll Shelby of Shelby Mustangs and all that. From what I read, he was like one of the beginning founders of the International Chili
Society. That's right. Yeah, he did. The International Chili Society, Carroll Shelby did start the ICS. And now, he's turned that over to Carol Hancock.
Okay.
She lives in California. She's the CEO and owner of the ICS now. But the ICS is a sanctioning body with a set of rules.
Okay.
And a set of criteria that you must abide by, during competitions. ICS is great because it does not, ICS great is because it allows for the profits that are made through each cook-off to be distributed to local charities and local nonprofits.
Great.
Now you have to turn your money over to somebody that needs help.
And the money we're talking to there about is when the public comes in, buys your little sample cups and that sort of thing.
That,
those profits.
Sponsorships.
Okay.
Everything. The money that you bring in, you can't keep it. You got to give it away. You got to have somebody that is your beneficiary, or a few beneficiaries before they will sign off on your paperwork.
Wow.
And so they say, you know, who's your beneficiary? I don't know. Well, till you get one, you're not getting a cook-off.
So your beneficiary, when you go to Las Vegas, is it a charity in Las Vegas?
They do. They have somebody that they give it to, and I'm not sure who that was this year.
And you just say, whoever the cook-off beneficiary is, that's where my money goes.
That pretty much all the money that comes into that cook-off. South Carolina State, ours is Belt and Interfaith Ministerial Association, which helps those that are less fortunate.
Okay.
Center for the Arts, the Museum Association.
Okay.
Which is historical.
Right, downtown Belton.
Right. We have given to the Shalom House, which is a recovery center for addicted women.
Right.
Boy Scouts of America. Thornwell Children Home.
Okay.
We've given to those guys. St. Nick's Chili Fix. Meals on Wheels of Anderson. Yeah. And then we have a new cook-off coming as well in May.
Interesting. Carroll Shelby. And he's got a whole line of chili products out there too.
Yeah. Mr. Shelby, he passed away a couple years ago. And they had the World Championships in Charleston, West Virginia. And they kind of held in his honor. And so he's missed by some folks.
I'm sure. Not only in an automotive field, but also in the chili field. That's the first segment of our chili show. But the International Chili Society History of Chili page starts out, from the time the second person on Earth mixed some chili peppers with meat and cooked them, the great chili debate was on. More of a war, in fact. They go on, the great debate, it seems, is not limited to chili, whose chili is best, but who'd started it first. Never has there been anything mild about chili. We'll be back with the second part of our interview in just a few moments. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You are listening to a recorded show with Matt Lusk, director of the South Carolina Chili Cook-Off. So let's get right back to our conversation. We got the South Carolina State Chili, that cook-offs that's in Belton.
Yeah, that's April 11th.
Yep. You mentioned you might have some locals attend these events. Now, will you have some locals that will come in and cook in Belton?
Oh, God, yeah, we do. We have quite a few locals in Belton.
Okay.
And actually, it's open. Anybody who wants to enter into the local people's choice. You know, it's like chili you cook at home. You make it at home, you can bring it in and give it out, and at the end of the day, you can go home with the prize. So, yeah, locals will cook in this as well. And anybody, we'll have about 50 competitors there. And so it's a nice big event.
for somebody coming in who is hearing this and wants to go to one of these cook-offs and taste chili, Friday is not their day to go. Because right. Friday is the day y'all are doing the registrations and your...
We'll do the cook's parties.
Cook's parties and that sort of thing.
VIP stuff.
So Saturday is their day.
Saturday's the day, yep. And typically the cooks get there about 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
About 10:30, 11 o'clock is when we start public sampling. And that generally goes to about 3:30 in the afternoon. And then we take up people's choice ballots. You can probably still taste, but you can't vote at that point. And then... usually awards wrap up around 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Leftover chili, is that something they can buy in pints at the end of the day?
Some people will give you what they got left over, but a lot of times there's not a lot left over.
Okay.
You know, as far as competition, we only cook about 2 quarts. Okay. People's choice, you know, I'll go through 3 gallons to 7 gallons, depending upon the foot traffic that day. So if it's a big cook-off, you know, I've given away 7-8 gallons.
Wow.
Typically it's about 2 to 3 gallons we'll give away in the little 2 ounce sample
cups. In
the
little camp. That's a lot of people eating a lot of chili.
It is. But we try to give it away too.
Yeah.
And then we say, come here.
Come here. Taste mine. Well, you mentioned earlier you got some recipes.
Yep.
So we kind of covered the history of chili, the ICS, the cook-offs around this part of the state. And now's when people's mouths will start watering for sure.
Yep.
What kind of what's your first recipe?
Well, I have a home style recipe, which
okay.
is
like what everybody cooks at home.
Yeah. And, we entered this one. Actually, my wife entered this one down in, Alamorada. And not Alamo. What am I talking about? I want to go to Alamorada. That's for sure.
I want to go down and go fishing.
Moosehaven.
Moosehaven.
Which
okay.
is in Orlando.
Right.
And, she entered this one. She ended up getting third, at Moosehaven.
Taste wise. Is this a rich, full chili?
This is kind of a sweet and spicy
okay.
chili here. You got a little bit of cinnamon.
Oh,
little grape jelly. And
grape jelly.
Yeah, a little liquid smoke, which is right up your alley.
Uh-huh.
a little brown sugar. And
wow.
A secret ingredient. Nobody knows this, so everybody close your ears. It's a little manwich.
Out of the can,
yeah. So, but anyway, we got quite a few ingredients here. And, Roger, you'll put this up on the web.
I will.
Website or something.
Well, let's see what we got here. Dark beer, ground beef, sausage, bell peppers, red and green. Now, the bell peppers, they're just raw. You see, I do a seafood chipeno, and that recipe calls for roasted red bell pepper. In other words, you put it on the grill and you roast that exterior black, but these are just raw.
Those are just raw.
Diced onions, chili powder, jalapeno peppers, serranos,
mm-hmm.
just a half a serrano.
Yeah, you don't want to get too much.
That's your bite on the front end, right?
That's a residual bite.
That's your residual bite. So what are you going to taste first in this chili then?
The jalapeno.
The jalapeno is going to be your first.
Yeah.
The
But then down here you have various, a few little, you know, just little, well, I don't call out what the chili powder is.
Right. But it's just a chili powder.
It's a chili powder. And typically that would be a blend.
Okay.
That I'll put in.
That's your 8 to 10 to 12 that you mix right. up on your own.
That's typically in my red. The
okay.
home style I cook a little different.
Okay.
But this is just going to be in a pot
right.
that you're going to cook for 3 hours.
Okay.
And it does have some flavor characteristics, but not as much as you do because you have so much other ingredients.
Yeah, I was just looking at this ingredient list.
And but in red, you don't have that many ingredients. You just have a few ingredients, and that's where you want your flavor profiles because it's going to be in your gravy instead of all the other ingredients.
Because there's like 30, 35 ingredients in this thing. The grape jelly, cinnamon, allspice, cocoa powder.
All right, this is my deal here. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
On your tongue, you got what? Bitter, sweet,
right.
sour, salty. They say you got an umami. And, you got something else. I can't remember. But so if you run down the list,
okay.
Out of everything on here.
Right.
I've got something that hits every part of your palate. Okay. Grape jelly, sweet. All right. Cocoa powder is what? Bitter.
Bitter.
All right.
Right.
We got salt. We got a little sour. And the sour, I think, is hit with your peppers and your heat from your serranos and things like that. So that kind of takes care of that. So in my opinion, what I want to do when somebody puts a spoonful of that homestyle in their mouth, I want it to hit every part of their tongue, have a bite up front, and when they swallow it, have a residual burn at the back. So it's like you get a mouthful of glory.
And what's the umami in that recipe?
It's probably, let's see. You got a little minced onions and a little, you got some accent.
Okay.
Your accent's going to be your umami in that one.
Okay.
Which is, same type of accents MSG. That's what that
okay.
is.
Okay. Okay.
And it's very similar to like a soy sauce.
Okay. Taste.
Flavor.
Okay.
And that is a umami flavor taste. Hey, look it up. You don't believe me. I'm telling you.
Cook until all ingredients have had time to marry each other. About 45 minutes.
Yeah. 45 minutes. They can date for 45 minutes. Then they get married.
And they get married.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will put this one up. All right. What's our next one?
All right. And we talked about different levels of flavors and profiles.
Right.
And this is where this actually comes into play is with the Texas red chili. And, you know, we got, 3 pounds of tri-tip. And then you go on down, you got, beef broth, chicken broth, El Pato tomato sauce, 1 can of Goya tomato sauce.
Okay.
And then you have, and if you look, those are my ingredients, okay?
There's 8 ingredients, 9 ingredients.
Dump 1, dump 2, dump 3. Well, look at dump 1, dump 2, and dump 3. Those are my different flavor profiles at each time that I dump
them
in.
That you add.
Yeah. So I've got cumin. I've got ancho chili powder. I've got chipotle chili powder. Then I have a championship blend, which I...
Won't tell us the ingredients.
Well, actually, you can buy this.
Oh, okay.
This was, you know, it was 2014. That was earlier in the year. But now I have added some things on the side, do my own blend.
Okay.
But I do use some of the championship. And then you got Hungarian paprika, sweet paprika, and again, ancho and saison and garlic powder, onion powder. And then you can see, again, you got another third level. And then,
it's interesting that you dump spices at different times. Huh. Very cool.
Yeah, the cumin's,
Fat Matt's 2014 Texas red chili recipe.
Yeah.
Now, you reference a gravy.
Yep. Essentially what, when your broth and your meat cook and your tomato sauce and you adding chili powders to it, essentially you end up with meat with a tomato gravy.
Huh.
And that's all it is. I mean, it's, you got meat and sauce. And in the end, that's all you end up with. It's meat and sauce. And that's chili. And you were talking about earlier about roasting, your green peppers.
Yeah, red. I noticed when I, because the first few times I fixed the cipeno, it was just, you know, dicing up my red bell pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was good and all. But boy, I tell you, the next time I looked at that roasted red pepper, I said, wait a minute, roasted red bell pepper. I got to grill this thing.
Yep.
So I went up, started up the charcoal, put 2 red bell peppers on there, turned them a quarter turn every time they got black on the outside, turned them, stripped the black off. And as soon as you pull those things off the grill, it's like, I have never smelled red bell pepper that smelled that good before.
That's good, right?
It is wonderful. And you can, the taste is so much different too.
Have you ever tried Hatch chilies?
No.
Green chilies?
Uh-uh.
Roasted like that? Every now and again, up at the fresh market, you can find the Hatch chili peppers.
Okay.
You roast those jokers. Man, you're talking about good. So what I was going to get at is you'd ask about roast peppers.
Right.
And, chili verde recipe, that I have here, that there would be some roasted Hatch chilies in here. So
okay,
and those are typically green green chilies if you want green, green chili, verde. So, you know, chili verde is, you know, green.
Okay.
It's, and when I say green, I mean, it's green. It's not red. It's not brown.
It's green.
It's green. Yeah.
So what do you have in a chili verde there?
Typically, it's, as we discussed earlier, it's pork.
Okay.
They use pork tenderloin. Some people use pork sirloin. And, those are diced as well. Fry those in a frying pan until they get grayed. Then you rinse that off. And you put that into a pot with some chicken stock and some chicken bouillon, onion, cubanelles, poblanos, jalapenos, yellow bells, serrano, and then some hatch green chilies, which have been roasted. Then my first dump is some cilantro powder, some garlic powder, some cumin. And then we add some things that you buy off the shelf. Some, salsa verde, some more green chilies, some tomatillos, just a few of those, some green enchilada sauce.
All this has a very Mexican Southwest sound to it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it probably, started down there somewhere, for the most part. And, you know, they stake a claim in that into the, fact that they know what chili is. And, you know, around here, you don't get, chili verde anywhere.
No.
And, nobody's ever heard of it. I never heard of it. I said, how you make green chili? You know, out
there
in the Southwest, I mean, you can find it at some restaurants and
okay.
things like that. But yeah, and I still have four more dumps here that, they go into it. And you got green chili powders and poblano powders and jalapeno powders and, you know, salt, adobo seasoning and black pepper, some oregano, honey, lime juice.
Ooh, honey.
A little bit of lime juice, New Mexico greens, celery salts, you know, and a little bit of ginger there. And,
chili around my house will never be the same.
So that's three there. And then we talked about a salsa.
Yes. And you do, in competition, do a peach salsa.
I do a peach salsa.
A peach salsa.
And I do it chunky too. I do, peach salsa and it has, pieces that are in it that are, you know, not huge, but,
nickel size?
No. Lord.
Dime size?
Well, I guess I should qualify by saying, huge in ICS terms.
Okay. Huge in ICS terms.
Maybe about the, size of the end of an eraser.
Okay.
On a pencil.
Okay.
So yeah, that size.
All right.
And my friend down in Florida, Larry Weltikal, he's been cooking for, you know, 30 years and he's about 65. So he says, he calls it fruit salad. He said, you turning in fruit salad today? I said, yes, sir. I'll do it. As long as it keeps winning, I'll keep turning it in. So, he gives me a hard time, but, I didn't bring that recipe.
No, I wouldn't expect you to.
I have put a Granny Smith apple, peaches and then tomatoes and, jalapenos, poblanos, all sorts of things in there. Maybe I'll share it with you secretly or
you
something.
Just bring
like
me a
that.
Sample the next time you cook some.
Yeah. How about you just come down to St. Nick's?
I will be there.
Come be a judge.
What time's judging? Cause I have to be here for the show at 3:00.
Oh, well, we'll figure something out.
I'll be there. It sounds like good. As long as I can make it back here by 2:45 or so, I'll be there.
Well, what I brought in here is a typical Mexican restaurant okay. style salsa. And it's just something that I made up a few years ago that, you know, if you go to a Mexican restaurant, you know, the red salsa
the mild,
that they put on the
hot
table. Yep. And, I was like, well, I'm going to make some and made it up and it tastes pretty good. And,
okay.
So I brought a little, recipe for that as well. And it's your basic, salsa, but it's kicked up a little bit, you know. I have to add a few things to make it.
Petite diced tomatoes, canned green chilies, onion, garlic, jalapeno, cumin, salt. And there again, when you say in cumin, you're talking good quality cumin.
Yeah. I mean, you can find cumin at the store that looks like it's ground pepper or something, you know, really kind of coarse.
Okay.
What you want is you want a talc type powder. And with all your powders, you know, garlic powder, onion powder, you want a talc type powder, like baby powder. You want it fine.
fine.
So it,
and that helps the marinating process you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it dissipates. I mean, it makes your gravy, not lumpy, if you will.
Gotcha.
And a lot of times if your powders don't break down, you end up with a gritty.
Right.
Chili.
Right.
Okay. And so, a lot of times, you know, a chili powder, if it's big chunks of ground powders and things like that, that's not ground up fine, you'll take a bite, especially if you're doing a Texas style where you're not doing ground beef.
Okay.
Take a bite of that and your gravy is it's like eating sand almost.
Right. Right.
So, but if it's found up.
It's like when you do a cup of hot chocolate and you don't get it all stirred up, you'll get a little lump.
Yeah. Yeah. But it'll remain gritty. It'll be kind of broken down, but it'll still be gritty. But the finer that you can get your powders, the better the gravy's going to be. And what I'll do, if I have one, I'll run it through like an espresso grinder.
Okay.
So if I got one that I really like, but it's just not ground fine enough.
You can grind it.
I'll run it through an espresso grinder and it comes out fine enough. Yeah. So.
Wow. Well, I think I might have to go home and cook some chili tonight.
Yeah, I'll come over and eat.
Come on. It'll be the home style variety. Yeah, trust me.
It'll be fine by me.
Well, look, this has been a great, great show. It's a pity I'm not doing it live because when I did the barbecue one, my phone was going off about, man, my mouth is watering. And I'm sure people listening out there, their mouths are watering too. Every place that serves chili in the Greenville area and across the state will be packed tonight because people are going out and getting chili. With cold weather coming on, nothing better than a good bowl of chili. You got wintertime football, tailgating where you need something to warm you up. Now you got your chili. I will put these chili recipes up on Facebook and the website. I appreciate you bringing them in.
Yep. And I was going to say, I know there's some people out there listening right now. They say, I bet my chili is better than his. Well, I'll tell you what, put your money where your mouth is and come on.
Come on to the chili cook-off and see.
And compete. Come on. You can compete. It's wide open, man. Just come on down. Compete if you can't make it to St. Nick's to compete.
Got Belton in the spring.
We got Belton in the spring. April 11th. You can hone that recipe a little bit and go buy you some chili powders.
And see how good your chili really is.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, Matt.
It's a humbling experience sometimes. I know from experience.
From experience. Well, look, Matt, I appreciate it. I mean, when this idea of chili came up, you know, and you send a message off somebody you never met and they respond back in a, you know, hey, love to do it. We talked on the phone and I appreciate you being willing to come in and share with us. I'd love to be a judge. You let me know about the December 5th one.
If you can't, come December, 6th, we'll have you for Sacramento State. Heck, you can do a show from there if you wanted to.
That would be fun. Angelo, you up for that? Angelo. He's all in.
Angelo's got slobber running down his cheeks, right? Yeah.
Well, look, I appreciate it. We will be in touch and good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you see me as a judge at a chili cook-off? That would be so much fun. I went to the internet and I want to say thanks to Matt for taking time to come in the studio and record and share what I think you could safely call his love for chili with us. One last thought is Matt himself told us is that even chili competitions are things families can do together. I'm sure I'll be trying out some new twists with chili, like when I started adding just a little bit of sweet Memphis-style barbecue to my bowl at home. And like I said in the segment, chili at my house will never be the same. I went to the ICS website and got a few little facts here that I thought were interesting. You may or may not like them, but I just figured I'd share with you. Three facts. Chili peppers were used in Cervantes, Spain, and show up in great ancient cuisines of China, India, Indonesia, Italy, the Caribbean, France, and the Arab states. Fact. Don Juan de Onetti entered what is now New Mexico in 1598 and brought with him the green chili pepper. It's grown there for nearly 400 years since. In fact, Canary Islanders transplanted in San Antonio as early as 1723 used local peppers, wild onions, garlic, and other spices to concoct pungent meat dishes, improvising upon ones they had cooked for generations in their native land, where the chili pepper grew. There's little doubt that cattle drivers and trail hands did more to popularize the dish throughout the Southwest than anyone else. And I mean, seriously, have you ever watched a Western that didn't have at least one scene where everybody was gathered around a pot of chili and beans? And as the cattle trail chili grew in popularity throughout the tiny Texas trail town, so too did its devotees. Frank and Jesse James fell prey to its taste and are said to have eaten a few bowls of red before pulling many of their bank jobs. At least one town, it's noted, was spared from their shooting and looting by the local chili parlor. Fort Worth had a Chili's joint just north of town, and the James boys rode in there just for the chili, vowing never to rob that bank because any place that has chili joint like this just ought to be treated better. And Pat Garrett is supposed to have said of William Bonney, Billy the Kid, anybody that eats chili can't be all bad, which is pretty true. Going on, chili buffs in San Antonio and in most of Texas, for that matter, say the stuff called chili was invented there, probably by the chili queens, women who dotted the military plaza and sold highly seasoned brews called chili for rudimentary carts all through the night to a cadre of customers who rode in from all over the prairies to singe their tonsils. The queens did exist for nearly 200 years, the locals say, yet most historians fail to tell of them selling chili much before 1880. Before then, it was probably strictly Mexican food. And they have a real good article there on the chili queens. Moving on in history, chili parlors sprang up all over the country, and many small-town cafes served little else than chili. By the Depression years, there was hardly a town that didn't have a chili parlor, even if it was nothing more than a hole-in-the-wall place with a half a dozen bar stools in front of the linoleum-topped counter. To many a wandering work seeker in those Depression days, the wayside chili shack meant the difference between starvation and staying alive. Chili was cheap, and the crackers were free. Another interesting fact about chili. And it goes on, over the past 150 years, many personalities and anecdotes have been linked with chili. It's been lauded by presidents, show business types have defended it, and it was said that Will Rogers judged his town by its chili and even kept scores. We talked a little bit about Carroll Shelby, and most of you know him associated with the automotive industry, but his approach to chili, the beauty of chili to me is that it's really a state of mind, he says. It's what you want when you make it. You can put something in there that you want, make it hot or mild, any blend of spices you feel like at the time. You make it up to suit your mood. So the chili pot still boils, and so does the controversy. We certainly don't know who started it or where. We just know that, as with Billy the Kid, anyone who likes chili can't be all bad. I hope you enjoyed that segment. I know I did. I appreciate Mass coming on. Maybe you'll go out and make you a set of pot of chili tonight or try a new recipe. And I guess it's about time for Chuck Norris. So if Chuck Norris Roundhouse kicks you, even Google won't be able to find you. Well, as always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Be careful. And don't forget that camera. I'll see you next Saturday.